Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. You know, if it isn't enough that some women have to undergo treatment for lung cancer, they may also experience sexual health challenges. And we'll be talking about that next on the show with our guest. Dr. Narjis Duma is an oncologist at UW Health, specializes in lung cancer. Dr. Duma is the principal investigator in the SHAWL study. It's an effort to gather data about sexual dysfunction in female lung cancer patients. So we'll be talking about the study and learn about the sexual health side effects of some cancer treatments. And we'd like to have you join the conversation as well. Maybe you went through cancer treatment and experienced some unexpected side effects. If your sexual health was a challenge while you battled cancer, did you feel comfortable sharing that with your doctor? I hope you'll join in. I know it's a tough topic to talk about sometimes, but hey, it's like a phone conversation here on the radio. So you can call us at 1-800-642-1234, or you could send us an email to ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. And Dr. Narjis Duma, welcome to the show. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you so much, Larry, for the invitation. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, when did you come to realize that your, or at least some of your female cancer patients were experiencing sexual health issues?
Several years ago. And I have to confess that at the beginning, I was ignorant of the challenges that my patients were experiencing about sexual health. It all started with a patient that had some unusual findings in physical exam. And I had a very good relationship with the patient, but she became very distant as we continued to discuss what was happening. And then I learned that she was having significant vaginal dryness and vaginal pain with intercourse. So I then went on a journey to find out how common this was and what resources were out there, to only realize that many of my patients were never asked by me or my colleagues about any degree of sexual dysfunction during cancer treatment, as our patients with lung cancer now are living a significant longer time than never before. We need to pay attention to this issue.
So is this something that oncologists regularly check on? As a common symptom?
No. So most of the data about sexual dysfunction in patients with cancer comes from patients with breast cancer and patients with genital organ cancers. It means vaginal cancer, uterine cancer, or anal cancer. So for those patients are a little bit more common to have these discussions because they're hormonal dependent cancers. What this means is, you know, for breast cancer, the majority of the treatments are to block estrogen. So the patients become menopausal and they have, you know, the hot flashes and the vaginal dryness. So the conversations are more common because it's that relationship with the hormonal levels. So most oncologists are not trained to talk about sexual dysfunction, and most oncologists do not ask about sexual dysfunction. And I was one of them. And I think it's also there's an stigma about talking about sexual dysfunction for patients with cancer in general or with all patients. But sexual health, it is important, and it has been related with symptoms burden. And I'm just going to give you an example, Larry. A patient that has sexual dysfunction is most likely to require a higher dose of pain medication than a patient that's able to have a sexual life that they feel comfortable with. They require less pain medication. So that's how this all related in a part for our patients.
Boy, you know, I'm thinking about this. The taboos around even talking about this and sexual health. It's got to be, as somebody who might be a patient, it's got to be hard to even talk about.
That's what it's our duty as their oncologists to ask. it can be very challenging. And sometimes patients may feel like is that it's expected to have no sexual health or no sexual life when they're getting through cancer treatment. And to be very specific, Larry, sexual activity is not only intercourse. It includes kissing, includes hugging, includes cuddling, and doing all other activities with your partner that we provide that affection, that emotional connection that is very needed during hard times like getting cancer treatment.
Yeah, and I could see where it would be, you know, looking at it from, let's say, looking at it from the male side of things. It might be just the issue of, am I going to be hurting the person or am I, just the conversation between the husband and wife is probably, or the, you know, your partner is got to be difficult.
It is difficult. People. Yeah. And a lot of the interventions includes the partner because there's many things that cause sexual dysfunction. And one of them is the stress associated with cancer therapy, you know, facing early mortality, like this cancer is going to kill me or the side effects of the chemotherapy. So we involve both couples. But I can tell you, Larry, when I ask my patients about sexual health, many of them I see as signs of relief, like, good, I wanted to talk about this, but I didn't feel comfortable talking about it. And even the spouses, sometimes they're after the patients leave, they're like, thank you, Dr. Duma, I just didn't know. And it is like part of being a human, it's our sexuality. And addressing it is like addressing pain, like addressing decreased appetite or weight loss. Because they had a normal and the normal has changed now. It is a new normal.
How are the demographics what are the demographics of women with lung cancer? And how are they changing at all? Those demographics.
So unfortunately, Larry, I specialize in women with lung cancer, in part for personal and professional reasons. But for the first time in 2018, we learned through this large paper published in the biggest journal of medicine called the New England Journal of Medicine, that the incidence, it means the number of cases of lung cancer is higher now in younger women than men. And this is matching for smoking. So we're seeing more and more younger women being diagnosed with lung cancer than never before.
So more young women are smoking, you're saying?
No, we're seeing more cases. And there's several things that are contribute to that. One of them, you know, of course, women started smoking years later than men. Like compared to when men started smoking compared to women, there's a gap there. But there's also other factors that we don't understand. Some of them may be hormonal, but we're seeing more and more cases of younger women with the disease.
Man, that is, is there some sort of percentage of incidence among women? You know, is it 1% of women or, and I'm interested in knowing what it's, if it's any different or if here in Wisconsin we're sort of on the national average of things.
So there's different ways to call the percentage, right? For never smokers, the risk is lower than for former smokers or current smokers. So the risk varies. The incidence of lung cancer also depends on family history and other factors. But lung cancer remains the third most common cancer after skin cancer and breast cancer for women. So it is not a rare cancer. We just don't talk about it often. Here in Wisconsin, we have a good percentage of women that are still smoking or smoke in the past. And we also have basements. And there is association between lung cancer and radon, the gas. And it's important that you also check, because there's often no check about, you know, when you buy a house, you check the radon levels. But if you have living in the same house for 30 years, often that is no check. Secondhand smoke is also a big risk factor for women. In the 70s and 60s, women have a lot of secretarial jobs. And a lot of my patients never smoke, but their boss at their office smoke. And they got all that secondhand smoke, or their spouses too.
Man. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing what our listeners have to say in the way of questions or comments or experiences. And our guest today is ready to answer those questions. Dr. Narjist Duma is a thoracic oncologist at UW Health, specializes in women with lung cancer. She's the principal investigator in the SHAWL study, and we're going to learn more about that study. It's an effort to gather data about sexual dysfunction in female lung cancer patients. We'll learn some more about that. But before we learn more about that, we're going to take a look at the news. We'll find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network. And then we'll be back with Dr. Narjist Duma. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Doug Gordon, host of Beta, inviting you to join me and best-selling author Matteo Ascarapur for a free virtual event. It's the Beta Film Club, Thursday, April 22nd at 6 p.m. Film, book, and pop culture fans, don't miss this conversation exploring the connections between movies and our everyday lives. Join us and find out more at wpr.org/presents.
Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. We're talking about a UW study that's gathering information about sexual dysfunction in female lung cancer patients. And we have the principal investigator with us on the show. Dr. Narjist Duma is an oncologist at UW Health, specializes in lung cancer. And as we talk with her, I hope you'll join in. I know it's a tough topic to talk about on your own, but what questions you have about how cancer treatment affects women. If you're a cancer survivor, what can you share about your treatment experience? I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Give a call. Well, as I mentioned, Dr. Duma, you're the principal investigator on this UW study, hoping to get a better idea of the problem. Tell us about the survey and the work that you're conducting.
Well, thank you, Larry. So as we talk, you know, I interacted with patients and I was learning that this is a common problem. I went to the books, which is usually the place where most doctors go to find answers. And I found no good data about sexual dysfunction in women with lung cancer. Most of the data was from 1980 and 1990. And 1999 was the soonest, like the most recent study. And you know, in medicine, we barely use any data that's 22 years old. So that motivated to do the SHAWL study. SHAWL stands for Sexual Health Assessment in Women with Lung Cancer. So we really need to know the problem because we are using new drugs. So around one third of lung cancer, particularly in women, have these mutations. So the patients go in pills. They're not receiving chemotherapy. They're taking a pill once a day or twice a day. But we have no data at all on how that affects the sexual health of these women. And then we have immunotherapy, which is a series of drugs that has changed how we treat lung cancer. Our patients are living years now. But there's also no data about sexual health with those drugs. It was never collected in the studies that led to the FDA approval. So that motivated to do the SHAWL study. And the SHAWL study is an international study that goes directly to the patients, to us, how is this treatment affecting your sexual health? Because a lot of these treatments produce significant dryness in your mouth. So you cannot even kiss your partner because it can be very painful to kiss somebody when your mouth is so dry. And it decreases your libido and affects your mental status. So it's a questionnaire that's administered to patients. And the questionnaire is housed at the Lung Cancer Registry for this Lung Cancer Foundation that's run, and it was funded by patients. So it allows for patients to answer the survey anywhere they are in any part of the world that they have internet connection. And we're very interested to see cultural differences, age differences, and treatment differences, because my grandma used to say, you cannot fix a problem unless you really know the problem. So we cannot fix sexual dysfunction unless we know what's really happening to our woman.
So how does a woman actually get on, you know, get to the questionnaire, or does it, or is this something you need to go through your doctor or your physician for, or what's the process?
The questionnaire is available to anyone online. You don't have to find a doctor. So what you do is you Google Shawl, S-H-A-W-L, go to, and then you go all right online to where the survey is at. You have to join the registry, which is some of your information about your data. You don't have to complete the full registration, and then you can click just to be part of the Shawl study. The survey takes 15 minutes. All options are multiple. It can be done in your phone. It can be done in your tablet. It can be done in your laptop or your desktop. And something I want to mention to you, Larry, is that this questionnaire was developed with patients, not only with doctors that, you know, don't really have experienced the disease. So we have two patient advocates that help us design the questionnaire. And we have a few questions about how COVID-19 has affected also the sexual health. And let me give you an example. So a lot of people have their college student kids come back to their house after they were out, right? When COVID started last year. So that one of my patients says it's just the lack of privacy, because we used to have a big house and then we went to an apartment when they all left and now they're all back. she's like, I just love my privacy. It's like, well, that would be hard for me to fix, but, you know, let's find ways in which you can try to find your privacy with your spouse again, now in this two-bedroom apartment when you used to live in a six-bedroom house.
Oh, man. Yeah. I can see where that – and I'm sure we have a link on our Larry Mehler Show Facebook. Go to ideas at WPR.org/Larry, and you can get a link to this questionnaire. But it's S-H-A-W-L, go to, right? G-O-T-O.
Yes, that's what you Google, and it should come out right away. It is the largest study to date to evaluate sexual health in women with lung cancer.
15 minutes. And I would just, before we go to the phones, I just want to mention that this is, well, each individual is filling this out. I'm sure that the results are summarized results and are not ascribed to a particular individual. So you're entering this information, but we're not going to go back and say, Donna, you told us this or that. You're only using summarized responses, is my guess.
Yes, it is completely confidential because there is no a link between the registry and the study. So when you go and click the survey itself doesn't ask no identifiable question at all. And there are no link to each other.
Okay, good. Bridget in Decorah, Iowa, will give you a chance to join in. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. Thank you for the show. It's very interesting. Yeah, a lot of people aren't aware, perhaps, and I'd like to have her input on the fact that a lot of people, and I get into a lot of homes, I'm an indoor air quality specialist, that use the perfumed dryer sheets the perfumed laundry detergent, the plug-ins for their homes. And if you do research on them, they're putting oil into your, you're sleeping on it day and night. You're wearing it all day long. You breathe it all day long in your home. And that starts to take a toll on the body, on the kids, on older people, and women are in the home all the time. I'd like to hear her comments on the use of those, and has she studied those in relationship to the problems that she's seeing?
Hi, thank you for calling in. I'm not aware of connection with that and lung cancer. What I do know is that when women use highly perfumed laundry detergent or, you know, laundry softener, it can produce vaginal irritation. It can produce vulvar irritation, particularly if it's used with underwear that is not made of cotton. So there is a correlation with vaginal irritation when it's highly perfumed laundry soap. But we lung cancer, I'm not aware of. But I can investigate further.
Thank you, Bridget, for calling. You can join in, too. The number to call, 800-642-1234. Give a call or email us to ideas@WPR.org. A listener emailed, she's currently a patient at UW for breast cancer. After months of treatment, the hormonal changes and the physical changes she's experienced have affected her sexual and emotional health. She's actually had a practitioner tell her that she shouldn't have any expectations of sex right now. Contrary to that, she found a lot of good guidance and support through the WISH program. Dr. Laura Seaborn, she says, is fantastic. So thank you for your research on this matter and for discussing this subject.
And Laurie Seaborn is one of our physician assistants, and she specializes in sexual dysfunction. She's part of the Scholl study. She has over 25 years of experience in this matter. You know, that's something you cannot buy. That's something you cannot get in a certificate, and it's the experience that Laurie has. And I'm extremely grateful that this patient was able to connect with the WISH Clinic, which was one of the first clinics in the nation about sexual health and cancer. And we have it here at UW.
Yeah. Could you talk more about the WISH Clinic?
So the WISH Clinic is a clinic that is a combination of physician assistants and nurse practitioners with the supervision of physicians that see patients that have any degree of sexual dysfunction with a history of cancer. And it's any type of cancer. They see patients that have recovered from leukemia, for bone marrow transplants. And they provide an initial consultation that's an hour long just to talk about sexual health, because sexual health, as the patient reported in the email, is not only physical, it's also emotional. So these advanced practitioners have the training to talk about how your mood affects your libido, right? If you're depressed, you won't have a high libido. And patients can be referred there by their oncologists or cancer doctors, and can be referred there by the radiation oncologist or any provider that we think that the patients can be benefit from the consultation, and the majority is covered by the insurance.
So what kinds of things in those sorts of consultations, or maybe even in your own consultations, how do you bring this up, or how is it, and what kinds of things do you talk about?
So I don't bring up the subject of sexual health during the first visit. Because patients tend to be, you know, they're just diagnosed with lung cancer, and lung cancer itself has a lot of stigma and a lot of perceptions that, you know, you're going to die right away with the disease. So I don't bring it up in the first appointment because we're covering so much. As the patient starts treatment, I started asking, how are you feeling about this? Do you want to start talking about it? More than just pushing and say, we're going to talk about sexual health now. It's like, this is a concern. This is a common side effect of therapy. Do you want to talk now? So it is an invitation to discuss more than we are going to discuss it. Because everybody is in a different level during their cancer journey. And some people may don't have a partner, or some people are never have a sexual drive, or they're in a sexless marriage for years, and that's why they feel comfortable. So I bring up the invitation. But the majority of the time, it is a positive reception from the patient about like, oh, I didn't know I could talk about this. Oh, yes, that's a big issue. And as women, they're very worried about how that affects their relationship with their spouse. And, you know, when you have something in the back of your head that's worrying you and you haven't addressed it, that tends to take a lot of energy out of you.
Mary from Wamadee, I believe it is, or maybe Wanakee, is curious if you have any idea why there appears to be a correlation, and does anything associated with lung function affect specific hormones?
So that is a question that if the half of my lab focuses on. We do have estrogen receptors in the lung. And there is a lot of hypotheses about how hormones are affecting and increasing the risk of lung cancer in women. Because women and men are equal but different, and we have higher estrogen levels. And also, Larry, since the 60s and 70s, the pill was introduced. So women are more going in hormonal anticonception than never before. So there is a correlation. There may be an association, but we haven't pinpointed the exact relationship yet. And we continue to study that. We study from menarche, that means the first period, all the way to menopause.
Someone else wondered about treatments for lung cancer and their effectiveness. What are standard treatments now for lung cancer in women?
So the treatments for lung cancer, Larry, have evolved in the last 10 years like never before. When you hear that the mortality, it means the number of cancer deaths, has come down, in part is because of the advancements in lung cancer. So it's no longer one disease, it's many diseases. So one third of patients may have a mutation for which we have a pill. That one third, about 40% can go in immunotherapy and have a good response over time. And the rest will be treated with chemotherapy. So there are several treatments depending on the lung cancer. And it's important to look for that key that would be the best fit for the patient, for that lung.
So, and then what is the survival rate these days? Or I'm sure the length of life is better now than it, longer now than it may have been 10, 15 years ago.
Yes, that is 100% true, Larry. For some patients that had specific mutations, they can live up to 6 to 8 years with metastatic lung cancer. Something that was never heard or even imagined before. I have patients with stage 4 lung cancer running marathons, raising their grandchildren, before COVID traveling the world. So the new therapies have prolonged the survival for something that used to be 6 months to a year to even years past. And the more therapies are being developed, the longer our patients are going to live.
So do you think these therapies then have, which are obviously great, have perhaps exacerbated the problem of female cancer patients experiencing the sexual health issues more?
I think there's two things. One, our patients are living longer. So now, you know, they are going back to having not the same life they used to have, but some kind of normal, back to the normal or whatever before the diagnosis. So these things about sexual dysfunction are more permanent than when you're in the hospital. Back in the day, you used to get chemo in the hospital and be in the hospital all the time. Now your patients are going back to work, resuming relationships. And I have patients that started dating after the diagnosis of lung cancer. So, you know, or patients are even longer. So we are like, oh, sexual health is very important. And second, the patients that have these mutations, the majority of them tend to be women, and the patients with the mutation live longer. So there's a correlation between living longer and a higher frequency in women.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Let's go back to the survey, and I think I'd actually like to have you go through that again, because I think it's important for women to know if they're tuning in late or whatever about the survey that you have. So go back through and explain that again, and then how women can get involved in this survey, because it seems to be a pretty easy way. There are easy ways to get involved in this.
Yes. So the SHOAL study is an online survey for women with lung cancer. They can have lung cancer or they can have it right now. Any history of lung cancer, the patient or the participant can take the survey. The survey is completely confidential. It takes 15 minutes and is housed in the Lung Cancer Registry or the GoTo Foundation. So they can go to Google and type SHOAL, like the shawls that we wear when it's called, S-H-A-W-L, and GoTo, and the survey will pop out. You have to register, but you can then link, you will find the link of the survey on top or at the bottom, and the survey and the personal information are no link. So your responses are confidential, and it takes 15 minutes.
And the questions involve?
The questions involve all sexual health spectrums. As we say before, sexual health is not only intercourse. It's about intimacy, kissing your partner, be able to feel like you have a type of body contact with your partner. Cuddling is part of sexual health. Hugging is part of sexual health. Vaginal intercourse, anal intercourse, all of those are part of sexual health and foreplay. So we ask questions about all those aspects of sexual health because everybody can be affected like in a different way.
And how is the information, or how will you use the information from the survey in your future cancer treatments?
So the goal, the study has three goals. One is to bring awareness about the issue. This is a subject that is not often discussed. So we need to bring awareness so people are aware, doctors are aware, patients are aware that there are solutions and that this is a common problem. Second is to empower our patients to bring this up too. Like, it is okay to talk about sexual health. You don't have to be have a life without a sex life just because you have lung cancer. It is okay to talk about it, you know, to empower our patients. And the third is that the results of the study will be used for an intervention. It's like, so what is the main problem? Okay, then we're gonna conduct a clinical trial with several interventions to find a way to fix the problem.
Oh, I gotcha. And have you had many, is this just getting going now, or is there good results? Or I don't know about results, but getting good participation?
Yes. So we have over 260 participants already from many parts of the world for many different types of cancer. While the results are preliminary, unfortunately, we're learning that this issue is way more common than we ever imagined.
Well, it has been a pleasure, Dr. Duma, to have you with us today. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I hope we have a chance to visit again. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry. Have a wonderful day.
You as well. Dr. Narges Duma, a thoracic oncologist at UW. Go to SHAWL, go to, and sign up for and take that survey. Thank you for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.